There's just something about people when they're rejoicing because God has visited them and taken residence in their home and in their heart, and their spirit is made alive by the presence of God, by the presence of the Spirit of God, and by the holiness of God. I don't remember saying anything to anybody that's what my subject was this morning, but maybe I did. We're on the right track anyway, I feel. I thank God that we revere that word, holy. It starts right on the page front of your Bible, Holy Bible. And if you want to get a taste of heaven, this is where it starts. And it starts right here, by submission to the one who is holy. I was going to say when I got up here, this has been a wonderful camp. I've enjoyed it so much until now. But when you think of the holiness of God, God Almighty, and He puts it in your heart, He not only puts the touch of His holiness and some knowledge how we can obtain holiness. A holiness is not just a gift, like the gifts of the Spirit. Some people, we say, my, that person is gifted. Look at that beautiful picture they painted. Read these poems that are so inspiring and so on. And that's a gift. That's a wonderful gift. And we thank God for those kinds of gifts that He gives to mankind. But holiness isn't something that I can create. It is something that develops within me by the hand of God. It is something you learn. And it is something that you can pass on to someone else. Fellowship is a wonderful, wonderful place to receive a little more holiness. And I'm sure you know that verse of Scripture in 1 John, the first chapter, that's the epistle of John, where he says, and we have fellowship one with another. And then what does he say? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's an avenue of holiness. I can partake of the holiness that dwells in my brother and my sister simply by admiring the ways of God, by admiring His Word, by talking about the eternal truths that we learn from God's Word, and the ease in which you can receive holiness from God. Everybody must have holiness. The Scripture says, without holiness, no man will see God. Or no man will see God without holiness. That's the ticket, if you like, that we must have. That's the fruit that you can bear in your natural body, in your spirit, in your soul, in your mind. I was just so thrilled when we were singing this, and I noticed these words, and I'm going to read them to you. Forgive me if I repeat things, but this just, there is singing up in heaven such as we have never known. I think sometimes we've heard some of that heavenly music that just stirs you to your tips of your toes and thrills your soul and your mind with the presence of the wisdom and the might and the purity and the power of the holiness of God. We are in His presence now, today, at this moment. His holiness is here upon His people. Where the angels sing the praises of the Lamb upon the throne. Their sweet harps are ever tuneful and their voices always clear. Oh, that we might be more like them while we serve the Master here. You know, I'm sure the angels look down upon us and they say those same words about us. Oh, it must be really wonderful to be a human being. A person that was born full of sin, that walked in a sinful way, that didn't know God, lived lives without God. I can't think of a more empty way to go through life than not to share something of the grace and the power and the blessing of God. Hallelujah. Personally. We're serving a personal God. Amen. Very personal. Holy, holy, holy is what the angels sing. And I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. I was just going to say, and I can't wait till I can, but you know... We talk freely when we know there's no danger of suddenly going to heaven. Lydia's mom, when she was sick for so long and bedridden and she saw absolutely no purpose in her life here on earth, and she said, I was asking the Lord, Lord, why do you leave me here? And she said, God spoke to me. And her eyes got wide. And he said, your time is in my hands. Yes. You see, she said, like a parent often does to their children. You see, she said. And then she felt almost guilty for desiring to leave this life. And you know, that there's great security in a statement like that. Amen. Your time is in God's hands. Hallelujah. Sure, we have to be careful in today's traffic and the way of life and everything and the things that we do and eat and everything else. Yes. But still, in the final analysis, it is God who says, time for you to come. Come up higher. Come up here and sing with the angels. Come and rejoice, as it is described in the scriptures, with the heavenly bodies and with those that have reached the end of their earthly journey. But I hear another anthem blending voices clear and strong unto him who hath redeemed us and hath bought us, is the song. We have come through tribulations to this land so fair and bright, in the fountain freely flowing. He hath made our garments white. That's holiness. Do you desire holiness? Amen. I believe you do. Sure, the old flesh has to die. Our old ways, the things that we enjoy that can only please the carnal nature. But God loves it when we get real interested and we spend a lot of time reading words that were inspired by the Holy Ghost, The same Spirit that moved upon the face of the deep and brought shape into that which was in the beginning, who created heaven and earth by the power of His Spirit. And He blesses us and helps us find holiness. It's powerful, very, very powerful. It can change the vilest of sinners. Then the angels stand and listen, therefore they cannot join that song like the sound of many waters by that happy, blood-washed throng. For they sing about great trials, battles fought, and victories won. And they praise their Redeemer, who has said to them, "Well done." So although I'm not an angel, yet I know that over there I will join a blessed chorus that the angels cannot share. This is holiness he's talking about. This is the reward of a holy life, of the possession of holiness from Almighty God in our soul, in our everyday life, in our thoughts, and in what we do. So although I'm not an angel, he says, I will join that blessed chorus that the angels cannot share. I will sing about my Savior, who upon dark Calvary freely pardoned my transgressions, died to set a sinner free. Holiness is a powerful, powerful what? You can't say thing. You can't say a theory. And actually, it's not a person. And yet God is holy. So His personality is expressed in holiness. Yeah, amen. If you want to show people that you're a child of God, you have to live a holy life. And you turn your back on what the carnal man enjoys and entertains himself with, and often destroys himself with. But this brings life. The holiness that comes from God our Father brings life to your spirit. And one day, maybe not very far down the road, this body will not die. Amen. It's going to be transformed, just like your soul has been transformed and has received everlasting life. One of the mysteries in this world, to me, one of the biggest mysteries, is why people turn it down. For paltry little pleasures like the world offers, which they find so satisfying and adventurous or whatever. And the very holiness of God, to be righteous in God's sight, to be free of guilt, because Jesus took that guilt upon Himself. Praise God. So I will sing about my Savior, who upon dark Calvary freely pardoned my transgressions, died to set me free. Praise God. As I was out walking this morning, I was meditating on this subject, and all kinds of different scriptures came to my mind, and memories of experiences. And I thought of this second chapter of Revelation, and this is something I think is a good idea to read every once in a while and examine yourself. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Some of the holiness somehow got neglected and diminished and wasn't as bright anymore. And I, you know, every once in a while, God brings us to a place where we have to renew that vow that we made to him. Quite often in our marriages, you go along and everything's fine, but there comes a time every once in a while where you really got to think, well, I wonder if I'm doing everything the way I should to please my wife. And I hope she thinks the same, to please her husband. But you know what? I did missionary work up north quite a few years ago, right at the time when the move was so new to us. And I finally earned enough money to buy an airplane. And I went to Yellowknife and worked with Brother and Sister Hutchins. They're both gone to be with the Lord now. And got a job to support myself and support my expenses. And I always wanted to go and land on the Arctic Ocean and see what it's like really way up there. We did missionary work in Yellowknife, and a lot of people came to the Lord, and we thank God for that. And it's a whole different kind of community in the far north. It's just different. When you're going to leave and go out for a while, you don't say, well, I'm going to go to Edmonton, I'm going outside. That was the word for outside of this atmosphere and the place where you live, where life is so different. So I wanted to get deeper on the inside, so I decided that I was going to go up to a copper mine right on the Arctic Ocean. They call it a different name. They've named a lot of these places by Eskimo names, and they're hard to get your tongue around them, so I'll just leave it at that, with a copper mine. Anyway, on the way up, a friend of mine in Yellowknife, he says, well, if you want a place to stop, stop at Sawmill Bay. And there's a family there that look after the buildings and for the forestry department, and he'll give you a bed. And I went up there and I had the most wonderful visit with this Indian couple that were the caretakers. And I was able to share these wonderful things of walking with God with them. And he didn't get his mail very often because that was right across Great Bear Lake. So I said, well, we'll just fly across there, and it's about an hour's flight each way. And we'll pick up your mail, and I appreciate the hospitality you've given me and even give me a little gas. So we did, and when I went to start the airplane, it was 56 below zero Fahrenheit, and it was a little cool outside. But I got it going, and as we always did, you knew what to do, and we had a little tent you put over the engine and open up the cowls and let the air circulate. In about 20 or 30 minutes, it's just purring just like you love to hear. And Then I went to Yellowknife or to Coppermine, and I kind of looked the place over. I'm wondering if there was any possibility of extending our mission work up there. And I got to know everybody in town. There weren't many, just a few RCMP officers and some of the fisheries department and the health center and so on. And I really wished that we could go out and visit the igloo. And we did. And the folks in the health center knew where to go, where there was an igloo close to shore. So we flew out, and we landed not too far from the igloo, and she looked over the family to make sure they were healthy and so on, and took pictures with a little Eskimo boy sitting on my shoulders. And it was a very interesting trip. And I noticed one thing they're in the habit of doing. When they're inside, they sit on the bed, which is made from blocks of snow and furs covering it, and they're tapping their feet on the ice floor. And up above, everything is built out of snow blocks, and those blocks of snow are quite rigid because the wind has been pounding on it, and they can be cut into blocks, and that's what they build their igloo out of. But they leave a couple of blocks of clean ice, and that's their windows, and it's quite light in there. And so I saw their way of life and so on. It was very interesting. I wasn't able to do any missionary work there because I couldn't talk their language, and they didn't understand English very well, and besides, it wasn't that kind of a trip at that time. But I learned a lot from the contact there. And when I was finished, I got in my airplane and paid $1.25 a gallon. I thought that was outrageous. For gas out here, it was about 35 cents those days. And so I made my way home. And as I was coming over Dismal Lake and those places where nobody lives, I think I had a feeling much like the astronauts must feel. What on earth am I doing away up here where nobody lives, except maybe the odd little band of Indians and some miners? There are quite a few mines up there of various minerals, a lot of gold and so on. And then I ran into a little unexpected weather. And it so happened, pilots are kind of stubborn people. I flew right over Contact Lake gold mine, and there was a lake there. I was on skis. I could have landed and had a nice comfortable night, but I know where it is, and that'll be another stop, and then I gotta go there and so on. And I meant to stay at the mine, at the uranium mine. And of course there was no uranium mine showing up. And I couldn't go out over the lake because there was ice fog, and you lose your horizon. You're just flying into a white sheet. You see nothing. You've got no sense of other than the instruments, and that takes a lot of practice to do it. So I thought I should have stopped at Contact Lake. Well, went in a direction where I thought was the right direction. It took longer than it should have to get out to the shore of Great Bear Lake, and then I could have followed it up to the uranium mine. And so I thought, I'm getting low on gas. That $1.25 gas was too expensive. I didn't fill the tanks right up. And I thought I'd better land and stay right here. Before I get into, maybe I'm more mixed up than I think. And which I did. There was nobody else around. Not even a wolf. Nothing. So I fired three shots like you do when you're in distress. No response. So I got my hatchet out and chopped down a few trees, made a good campfire, and crawled into my sleeping bag. And then I began to renew my first love to the Lord. I made my promises to God all over again. Have you ever done that? If you'd have been there, you would have done the same thing. I'll tell you that, guaranteed. So I left it at that and got a few winks of sleep through the night. It had warmed up. It was only about 15 below zero. And anyway, I thought, now comes the test next morning. I was pondering over the scriptures like this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And it spoke to me. And I determined, Lord, if I get home safely, I sure mean business that I'm going to serve you in whatever way you lead me. And I think God wanted to hear that from me so that I would realize that my life is not my own. If I want to walk and be a holy person that received holiness from our Heavenly Father and allowed Him to develop holy ways in my everyday life, holy habits and holy thoughts, and search the scriptures and all those things that we know produces a good relationship between you and the Lord. I renewed my vows. Have you ever done that? You ever been in a spot where it looked like the jig's up? I'm at the end of the road. Lord, I'll serve you if you get me out of this mess. I'll walk closer. I'll strive for holiness. I did. And I believe you would have too if you'd have been there. Because God arranged it so that I would grasp hold of the tremendous opportunity that you and I have as human beings to be able to talk to the living God. You know, every once in a while you have an opportunity to meet someone that has done some great thing and is recognized as a very brave person, or what, depending on what it was that they had accomplished, or gathered a lot of wealth, or contributed something in the medical field. And we thank God for these things that happen. And it's a great privilege to be able to talk to somebody like that, to shake their hand, get their autograph. But when you get alone with God, I mean really alone, and even if you wanted to, you can't phone your neighbor or your friends or talk to anybody even over the radio in the airplane. It was on the ground and it wouldn't reach very far. And I treasure that experience today very much. There was only one person on earth I didn't want to ever find out that happened, and that was Mom. You know what happened? My brother had a little janitorial business in Port Alberni, B.C. And he's cleaning up the radio station. And he's watching the ticker tape going, or the telex, And news was coming up, and all of a sudden, Mervyn Smith comes on in the news item. Well, and it said there that my plane was down, and they didn't know exactly where it was, and so on. I was the last known owner of the plane, so it must be me. And so Earl gets on the phone. Mom, Mom, Merv's lost. He's sent somewhere, and he's all iced up. Of course, they always make it worse, you know, on news items, and it sounded to sound a little more interesting. Well, anyway, I lived with that little problem, and explained myself later. But I wouldn't trade that experience for anything, because God was with me. I didn't feel like rejoicing and jumping up and down and speaking in tongues and praising the Lord, or all those things you do when the Lord is so near to you. But I thank God that I was able to examine my life, examine my desires, and commit myself to Him and say, Lord, wherever you lead me, I will follow. And I renewed that commitment to Him, and I thanked God for it. And so the Lord was speaking to this church, Church of Ephesus. He's the one that walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Isn't that an amazing statement? There's quite a few candlesticks here from your congregations, from the churches that are in Saskatoon, in Edmonton, in Regina, in Texas, and wherever they may be, the same one that walked in the church of Ephesus among the golden candlesticks, so to speak, was there. And he's saying, listen, church of Ephesus, you better know this. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and they hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Ever have the Lord bring that to your attention? I'm sure you have. And He'll probably do it again when it's needed. You've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. We're not always so saintly. Without realizing it, sometimes we've fallen. And then he says this, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. What were they short of here? They were short of holiness. Yeah. It had slipped. And it affects their affection for the Lord. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. What a place to be in. That's where we are, isn't it? We're in the presence of the Almighty. To him that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write these things, and saith, was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy from which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So they had a problem with false doctrine those days. For none of these things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison and be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days, and be thou faithful unto death, and I will be thou, I lost my place here, and I will give thee a crown of life just for faithfulness. Consider that. Crown of life. If you leave behind the thing that is causing your experience with God to suffer. And to the angel of the children of Pergamos write these things, which saith he which hath a sharp sword and with two edges. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. They had really backslidden. Thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth, and so on. And it goes on in the 17th verse. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh. There's a lot of emphasis here on living an overcoming life. And we cannot overcome this world system and all those things in our own strength. We have to depend on his strength. And that's taking time to walk with God. That gives you holiness. It helps you live above the world, above those things that hold us down and destroy God's blessing in our life. And he calls this, in the, speaking of the Laodicean church, he calls it having left their first love. And I think that all these different churches that are here represents a church age. And if you study church history, I think you will find that many of these different churches were the experience of the church somewhere between now and when these words were written by John on the Isle of Patmos. And it seems to me that we're in the section that deals with the Church of Laodicea. He that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. This is the promise of overcoming. We need to be overcomers. We don't earn our way into salvation. It's too great a thing to exchange anything earthly to earn the gift of God. We have to receive it by faith and overcome whatever hinders the moving of God's Spirit in our life, so that we can walk in holiness. And He is willing and ready to help us in this time in which we live. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, and faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. You know, you got to read these things and really meditate on them. What he's saying, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Excuse me. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. What a statement. We can partake of his holiness as we follow where the direction that he leads us. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And holiness is a very, very important thing. I think I said earlier, it's the ticket into God's presence. No man can see God without it. So we need to press in and remember that the church made a big mistake back in the days of Laodicea, and they left their first love and didn't realize it. They didn't, and you know, you see so many things going on in the name of Christianity today. I wonder if God isn't saying, in many of these efforts that there are, and in the music, there's something else about some of the modern worship, the music that the church has developed. And you see it on television and so on. But God wants us to have what he has developed in the church, the gifts that he has put there, so that our holiness will be pure. And to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. It's not an easy way. Holiness comes by some striving, by some effort, by just personal contact with the Holy Spirit, with God, the one who made heaven and earth, wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to me. So he let me get in that little spot in the bush there were nobody else, nothing else, not even a wolf was around. And my thoughts were to myself, and I looked to the Lord. And I'm glad I learned the lesson that he wanted me to learn there in being prepared for these kinds of emergencies and so on, and to renew my vow to God that I might obtain more of his person, more of his holiness, and be strong in the power of his might. and then he goes on to describe what happened when the saints of God, and he came and took the book. This is a scene in heaven, and they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the leaves thereof. Thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tribe, people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." That's our destiny. Praise God. He wants us to understand and to experience holiness. Holiness is powerful. It's a mighty force. And sometimes it changes the course of nations. And we thank God in our country for the freedom that we do have, that we can walk in holiness before God and not be in conflict with everything that goes on around us, but to be in harmony with the saints of God and do the things that God leads us in. But it's a personal thing. It's something, if I want to live a holy life, I have to press in. I have to read how to get it in the scriptures. Spend time on my knees talking to the Lord. Don't let life spoil your prayer life. You know and I know, we live in a fast-moving society these days. But don't let it rob you of those times when you need to be alone with your Heavenly Father, that you might receive more of his nature and more of his blessing and understand more of that wonderful kingdom that he's building within your heart and in mine. Praise God. We are the most blessed people on the face of this earth. We are. When we consider what God has done for us and all the availabilities that he has made to us to make life meaningful. So many people that we know, somehow their eyes seem blinded, and they turn down the things of God. We have a Bible study in one of the seniors' homes every Tuesday night, and one day a sister that we knew from the neighborhood where Lydia was brought up, she said, "I want you to come and visit me." We weren't even sure where she was at the time. And so we went to see her, and she said, "We're trying to have a Bible study here among us, and we can't find anybody that's qualified and is willing to come and spend time with us. How about if you come when you can?" So we said, "Sure, we'll do that." And that's about 15 years ago. We still go. But it's been a real blessing. I marveled at the interest that we find. And one man showed up one day that had no friends. Nobody liked him. And he didn't seem to like anybody. He didn't even seem to like himself. He was a special person, I'm telling you, in that way. So one day he showed up at the Bible study of all places. His family didn't even come and visit him. And he entered into what we had little discussions once in a while, or if there were questions, we'd discuss it openly. And he tried to enter into these, and he didn't have a clue what it was all about. But this one day, I felt to say to the people, if there's anybody here that's not sure of their standing with God, why don't we just pray the sinner's prayer? And so we did, the whole crowd. And I just led them in a simple prayer and asked God to save my soul and forgive my sins and so on. And I never knew what effect it had on old Alf. They told me afterwards that he was a different man. He meant it. And he was born again and received a portion of holiness from our Heavenly Father. With all his guilt and his misery and unfriendliness and so on, to the point where even his family would not come to visit him. And I don't know if they even went to his funeral. 2 weeks later, he was in the hospital, full of cancer. His time in the Lord's hands had come. And he went to be with the Lord. But the people marveled at the change in this man just by that simple act. And I was so glad I did what I felt prompted to do that day. And I'm sure there's been others that have found their way in the Lord. And those that are Christians already, we enjoy sharing the Word of God whenever we're available on a Tuesday night. So on a Tuesday night, remember, Merv and Lydia, we're doing some missionary work in a senior's home. And we thank God. And I know those things are going on here in North Battleford. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful privilege. You know what else it is? It's an expression of holiness that is in your heart. You love God's people, and you love to help somebody else find Christ. And I was so glad to hear of your ministry in the prisons. And we used to go to the prisons years ago quite a lot. And we saw some wonderful changes. One night, I was getting prepared to go overseas, and I told them that, and the chaplain was there, very, very wonderful born-again chaplain, and he was born in China to some missionaries and related to the Graham family. And anyway, Alf Bell was his name, and they were praying for some of the fellows, and I asked them, would you fellows pray for me? Some of them that had accepted the Lord. And there was one guy there that was a Hell's Angel. Or used to be. And he laid his hands on me with the others. And I'm sure he wondered what was happening because his hands started shaking. I said, pray for me that the Lord will be with me when I go on this mission. We love these fellows, and they did, and I marveled at the way the Lord moved with them, and I really was blessed. Praise God, and I think you'll have some good experience. I know you already have. That's wonderful to see a man's life change, instead of unrighteousness and sinfulness, and all the things that men entertain themselves with these days. You can lead them to a higher plane where they can think of things heavenly, where they can be in touch with the heavenly realm, and their soul can be cleansed from sin and unrighteousness and unholiness that is so prevalent in our society today. Holiness is free, and yet it costs you everything. Amen? Amen. Yes, it does. We have to lay it all on the altar, and we partake of the holiness of God, our Father, that comes down from heaven to right where you live, into your very soul. Praise God. Seek holiness. You get it by reading the Word of God. You get it by kneeling before the Lord. You get it by walking with God. You get it by talking with God. You get it from worship, sincere worship to the Lord. There are so many avenues where we can draw close to the Lord. And it changes our lives. And I hope that my life never stops changing till we're in His image. Praise God. God bless you. And may we go home a little holier than we came. Amen? I believe we will. Praise God.